Today, we're reaching Daniel chapter 10. If you haven't been here, we're walking through the book of Daniel. We've been doing this chapter by chapter. For those of you who have been here, you're like, when is this going to end? We got two more weeks. There's 12 chapters, so we got two more weeks, and then we'll be out of Daniel. But this morning, we're at chapter 10. So here's what I want you to think about, that actually chapter 10 through 12, these last three chapters in Daniel, are actually all one unit. They comprise all one unit. It's one thing really together. And chapter 10 just serves as a introduction, okay, to what's going to happen or what's going to be talked about in chapter 11. And then chapter 12 is just going to wrap it up. Does that make sense? So this morning it's an introduction to a vision. We could call it the final vision of the book of Daniel. But we're just introducing it today. Chapter 11, we're going to talk about the content of that vision. And then in chapter 12, we're going to wrap that all up. But we say it's the final vision in Daniel, but in actuality, it's just the same vision repeated over and over. I don't know if you've caught that pattern yet or realized that these visions that keep appearing through Daniel are the same thing, just different perspectives on it and increasing detail. And when we get to chapter 11, there's going to be a whole lot of detail about this final vision or this repeated vision that is in Daniel. So to set it up where we're at today, a little over 2 years has passed since last Sunday. Okay? So I know that throws some of y'all, but that's the way the Bible, that's the way it is, right? We went to the next chapter, from chapter 9 to chapter 10, 2 years, a little over 2 years have gone by, and you just flipped the page, okay? It's important for you to know that. Daniel is now in his mid-80s, right? This is an older guy. Daniel is now in his mid-80s, and he has been in what you and I know as modern-day Iraq. He has been there for over 70 years. Okay, and he has served in the palace, and he has served under not only the Babylonian Empire, he is now serving under the Medo-Persian Empire. But Daniel has been in Iraq and served in the palace for over 70 years. But here's an interesting thing. Not only have 2 years passed since last week, when we went from chapter 9 to chapter 10 today, but a year has passed since the first Jews have been given permission by Cyrus to return to Jerusalem and build the temple. So again, I know a lot of people, I talk to people all the time, and they're like, man, I need a chronological Bible. They don't say that. That's what they're asking. They always go, man, I don't understand. What happened first? And how does this, what's the order of all? And you need a chronological Bible. That's what you need, but that just puts it in order. So sometimes we don't understand. Like if you were to go to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapters 1 and 2 is talking about what I'm talking about right now. Okay? So when Daniel is getting ready to have the vision that we're going to introduce today, this is occurring a year after the first round of Jews have already returned to Jerusalem to begin building the temple, because they were given permission by Cyrus, the same guy that is ruling over Babylon at the time. So you need to understand that's going on. You can look in Ezra chapter 1 and 2. But I got a question. And actually, I'm taking it easy on you guys today. I only have one. Usually, I have one or two that I start out. I ask you to let this just kind of percolate, to steep, right? To just kind of soak in the back of your minds throughout the message, and then we'll come back to it at the end. But I only have one message or one question for you today. And so, are you ready? I want you to engage your brain. I want you to think about this. Do we spend more time? That could go a lot of different ways, couldn't it? Here's the question. Do we spend more time grieving over yesterday, anxious about tomorrow, or at peace with today? I want you to think about that. We all have walked in here in different scenarios and different situations, right? I want you to think about that. How does your life reflect or respond? What would your response be to that question based on your life? Do we spend more time grieving over yesterday, anxious about tomorrow, or at peace with today? You got it? You look excited, right? So here we go. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to kick in. You'll see it's going to be up on the screens. You can open up your programs. The scripture's in there as well. So Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 says this. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, if you remember that, that's the name he was given when he was first brought in to Babylon, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time, I hadn't eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. Now, it's interesting how the author and how he puts this in here. He wants us to not forget. He wants to remind us that Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, he doesn't want you to forget. I know 70 years have passed, but don't forget, this is the same guy. We're not talking about a different guy. This is the same guy that was brought here by King Nebuchadnezzar when Babylon conquered Jerusalem and exiled, right? Same guy. He's been here all this time, and he just wants to remind us that. This vision is of the future, and the future looks interesting, right? War and great hardship. That's easy to get excited about, right? But Daniel was mourning for 3 weeks, and we're given a kind of an explanation. So in case you weren't sure what it meant to go without these lotions, basically, Daniel was stinking, right? He was funky, right? You know what that's like, right? Some of y'all have been funky before. Right? Has anybody here gone 3 weeks? Don't raise your hand. Unless you have a really good explanation. Right? 3 weeks, man. 3 weeks. He was funky, man. This is in Iraq. Right? It's not like, you know, this is a kind of a warm place. And the clothing. Well, anyway. Daniel was not looking too good, smelling too good, or feeling too good. So you need to understand that. And here's something. You remember back, for you guys, and I know some of you might be here for the first time, but if you that have been here, if you harken back to the very beginning of this thing, you know, when Daniel and his friends, those three guys that you all know about, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, right? He and his three friends, when they were brought into Babylon, you remember there was this whole ordeal that had to do with the diet, you know, and Daniel was, there was kind of a test, you know, and they were placing their trust in God, and they said, we're not going to take any of the table, the rich food from the king's table, which included the meat and the wine. We're just going to do the vegetable thing. And I know we got a couple people here that are vegan. They got all excited thinking it was about that. It had nothing to do with that. But anyway, I know who you are. So I'm not even looking at you. See, I'm looking over here somewhere. I'm not even looking. They could be on this side of the room. There could be a few hiding on this side of the room. But here's an interesting thing. Just bringing it up. Because Daniel's in mourning for 3 weeks. And during these 3 weeks of mourning, he says, no meat, no wine, no rich food, right? You know what that means? Other than these 3 weeks, he was chowing down on the meat, the rich food, and the wine. Okay? Just so you know, I didn't want you to think like Daniel's like this vegetarian for his whole life. Right? No, that was just at the very beginning for a test and during this time of mourning. Other than that, Daniel was eating steak whenever he got an opportunity. Okay? Just letting you know. So, but here's the thing. Verse 4, because I really want you to get a sense. Daniel mourning for 3 weeks, not eating his regular food. So he's kind of praying and fasting, right? I mean, we've heard about this before in the last chapter when he had a deep prayer and he was seeking God's voice and in prayer and fasting. You know, remember last time he got like the burlap outfit out and poured the ashes on his head and all that kind of stuff. Well, now it's even a different thing. I mean, he's not even bathing and all. I mean, it's getting worse. Like, he is dead serious now. It's a little 2 years later, but he's dead serious about this. He is really seeking God. Well, verse 4 provides a huge hint in the text of why Daniel is in such a state of turmoil. And I think this is important, and most people overlook this or don't see it in the text. And so I just want to read verse 4. We're going to go through the others in just a second, but verse 4 says this. It says, on April 23rd, right, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River. All right. Now, there's more to that, but I just want to pause there because we're being given a huge hint in the text. On April 23rd, don't you like it? Like when the Bible gives like an exact date. Have you ever thought to yourself and go, how in the world did he know it was April 23rd? Right? They do. Because these empires kept meticulous records. And they can look back through the Persian records that were kept in the palace. And they can take a look at the Hebrew calendar. Right? And then, of course, we get it. It's all translated into our Gregorian calendar that we operate by. And so we end up with April 23rd. But I want you to realize something, that April 23rd is not actually April 23rd in the original text. That's for our benefit because that matches up with our calendar. All right? So here's what it is. April 23rd is actually in the Hebrew in this book, right? It basically says the 24th day of the first month. Okay? Now remember, there's a little difference between the Hebrew calendar and ours. They do nighttime and daytime. That's how they do the days, right? It starts at night, goes into the day. So in Hebrew, it said the 24th day of the first month. And the first month is a month called Nisan. Right? Now, maybe you've heard this before. Some of y'all have been paying attention. You're not looking like it right now. There's a lot of deer in the headlight looks right now. But okay, there's an incredibly, incredibly important day on the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, known as Nisan 14. Okay, so you don't know what that is. So Nisan 14, I have failed. No, I'm just kidding. So the 24th day of the first month being Nisan. Nisan 14 is a huge, important day. Nisan 14 is known as Passover. Passover is the same day every year. Nisan 14, every year, without fail. Right? It jumps all around on our Gregorian calendar because we're not operating on the same time frame as the Hebrew calendar. We have different length of our years as they have of their years. So we see this jump all over the place. Via the Hebrew calendar, Nisan 14 was Passover. Why is this important? It's incredibly important. It's a huge hint that the text is giving us. Passover is the day when the Jews celebrate and commemorate God rescuing them from Egypt. God bringing them out of slavery. God bringing them out of exile. So, here comes Passover again. 70 years in Iraq. Here comes Passover again. But there's a glimpse of hope. Just last year, some of the Jews have returned to start building the temple. But here I still am, 70 years in Iraq. Here comes Passover, where we celebrate being free, where we celebrate God rescuing us. And so what it tells us is Daniel began the days leading up to Passover, during Passover, and the days afterward. He is in mourning. Why? Because this is an unrealized promise yet. Yes, their history has spoken of how God rescued them, but they're still in Babylon. There's a little trickle going back into Jerusalem, but still the bulk of the people are in Babylon. So he's mourning. He's crying out to God. When are we going to realize this again? When are we going to be free from exile? When are we going to experience our freedom again? That's what's going on. That's why he is in such turmoil. All right, so let's jump in. We'll read 4 through 6. There's a lot more going on there. So, again, verse 4. On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze. And his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. That's a pretty awesome description, right? Has anybody ever said that about you? Right? His body looked like a precious gem. You might hope. Right? They may have seen your face flash like lightning. Well, there's a whole lot of ways I could go with that one right now. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. So in this description of this figure, this person, this man, right, in Daniel's vision. So now he's on the shore of the Tigris. He's on the banks of the Tigris River. And all of a sudden he has this vision, right? And he sees this being, and this is the description. Dressed in linen, it kind of speaks of priestly, right? Because the priests, that's what they would wear. The priests wore linen, right? And then a gold belt, right? That was priestly. That was something that the priests would wear. Body like a precious gem. We just left the priesthood because I don't know that anybody was ever referred to. Maybe they were, but I never heard it or saw it in scripture anywhere. But body like a precious gem, face like lightning, eyes like torches, arms and feet like bronze, and a voice that sounds like a multitude. There's actually a very similar description as this found elsewhere in scripture. Anybody have any guesses where that is? Revelation. And because of that, sometimes conclusions are drawn as to who this is. I mean, that's the question. I mean, that's a question. Well, who is this, right? I mean, is it Gabriel? I mean, Gabriel's come to Daniel two or three times and explained visions to him. We see that in the text. I mean, is this Jesus? I mean, it kind of seems like Revelation, that's who they're describing or speaking of. Or is it another powerful angelic being? Now, in case you might be surprised by this, but different scholars head different ways on this and they disagree. Shocking stuff, but people don't agree necessarily on the identity of this individual. But I believe that the text helps clarify the identity as we move along. So I'm not going to say anything about that just yet. So here's the situation. So Daniel comes to the bank of the Tigris River. He looks up and he sees this guy, which is described in the text, right? And then he freaks out. But he's the only guy that can see it. He's got guys with him, right? He's got some guys that are with him. They're traveling with him. They're all standing on the bank of the river together. But Daniel's the only one that sees it. Even though his friends can't see it, they freak. And they bail. They take off. And Daniel's there by himself. Even though he's the only one who can see it, they could just sense something ain't right. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where, I mean, you just like your hair stands on, right? I mean, the hair on your arms. If my hair on my head doesn't stand anymore, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, ooh, something's creepy, right? The creep factor like goes really up. Well, these guys freaked out. They took off running. Daniel does what he has seemed to have done a few times, and Daniel's not a wimp. I've told you that. I mean, this is a dude that withstood the lion's den, right? Came out in the morning. This is a guy. But Daniel's got like this fainting issue. I don't know if you knew this. It's like every time there's like a divine presence, Daniel's just like, boom, he's out, right? And, you know, I can't say that I blame him. So his friends bail. The scripture tells us that he turns weak and he turns pale, right? And then the guy speaks. This being speaks to him. And what does he go? Again, boom, and Daniel's down, right? But then this being touches Daniel and helps him up. And then informs Daniel. Now, here's an incredible thing. And this will miss trying to figure out some of the unimportant stuff. Remember, I've been telling you as we walk through Daniel, too many people get so hung up on the details and the mysteries and the intrigue, and they want to solve all that. And unfortunately, because of that, they miss the big messages that are right here in front of us. So instead of worrying about the identity of the mystery guy, why don't we hear the words that the being says to Daniel? He touches him, restores him to his feet, and then he says this incredible thing. Would you not love to hear this? The being says to Daniel, Daniel, you are precious to God. That's enough for me. I'm good. Right? You ain't got to explain nothing. I don't even need to know. To know that I'm precious to God, that an angelic being would show up and tell me I'm precious to God, I'm good. I don't even need to know how anything goes. I mean, think about that. What would that be like to have a divine angelic being show up and tell you you're precious to God? That's more important than the rest of the stuff in this chapter. But we gloss over that because we want to know who this guy is, which won't change anything in your life. But I assure you, if you know that you are precious to God, it will change everything in your life. Okay, so let's move on to Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. So as this continues on, then he said, the being said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel." I mean, it's obvious Daniel was afraid. He just had to pick him up off the floor, right? Because he fell down, fainted. "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven." From the very first day, your request has been heard in heaven. "I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. For this vision concerns a time yet to come." Man, there's a lot of stuff going on right there. Once again, just like in some other visions, once again, the curtains kind of peel back a little bit for us, and we get to see something that's not of our world necessarily. We get a peek or a glimpse into the supernatural. We get to see that there's a spiritual battle that is waging behind our earthly conflicts, right? I don't know how much we realize that. I think we can be told that, and then we really quickly forget it. You know, because we're people, if we don't see something, if we don't like see it in front of us, we kind of dismiss it. I get that. But we need not forget this. There is a massive spiritual cosmic battle going on behind the scenes of everything that you are facing and struggling with. You think that you're just wrestling with dumb people. You are, to some degree, because people are dumb, right? But there's another whole level. There are spiritual forces at work, good and evil, that are at play. And maybe it's not just that person that you're warring against, but maybe there's something they don't even realize. Do you know that you could be utilized as an instrument, sometimes for good and for evil, and you not even be fully aware of it? You say, "Well, not me. I'm a follower of Jesus." Really? Let me follow you around for a little while. And I believe some things that ain't of Jesus are going to come out of your mouth. Well, I don't say those kind of words. I'm not talking about those words. I'm talking about your attitude. Man, sometimes I know y'all are more spiritual than I am, but I mean, you know, there are times I know my attitude or how I could even respond to my wife. That would shock you. Right? I know, because y'all never experienced this kind of stuff. Don't look at your spouse right now. Do not look at your spouse right now. I'm trying to help you out. There are times all of a sudden I reflect something, and at the end of it, it's like, wow, that was real Jesus-like. Right? No, it wasn't. I allowed myself to be used to say something hurtful. That's never happened to you, though. I get it. You spiritual person, you. Anyway, I want you to understand there is this cosmic battle that's going on. But here's something very important that we need to see in this. And we get this kind of unpacked for us by Daniel. And that is prayer. Did you see in this passage how important, how significant prayer is? Prayer is active. It's not passive. Sometimes why do we think that way? Why are we oriented that way? You know, I mean, let me do everything I can. Well, you know, if nothing else, let's pray. Do we not say that? Well, I really can't do anything to help you. I can just pray for you. We say that. I mean, as if prayer is the last resort, if prayer is the least significant thing there is. Daniel's given us a glimpse that it's not true. That prayer is active. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is warfare. It's warfare. When somebody goes into earnest prayer, that's an act of war. You need to think about it that way. Now, for you guys that are still trying to wrestle through the identity thing, I think there's a hint here. I think there's a hint that begins to eliminate certain potential characters. Number one, when the scripture says that this being is being detained by an opposing spiritual being for 21 days until another spiritual being can provide assist and substitution, I'm just going to tell you my opinion, does not sound like the pre-incarnate Christ to me. No angelic being is going to be holding up the pre-incarnate Christ for 21 days against his will, and he needs the help of some other guy. Sorry. The pre-incarnate Christ, what I'm talking about is the Son of the living God who has not emptied himself yet, as we read about in Philippians, when he came to this earth. He's not emptied himself yet. He is all-powerful. Well, an all-powerful being isn't going to be held up by some joker for 21 days and need Michael to come assist him, right? Plus, I don't think Jesus would do that to Michael because that was kind of messed up, right? I mean, he's wrestling around, like, Mike, come here. I need to hold me. Okay, you got it? I'll be back, right? That's how I picture this, right? And then Michael's like, well, that's messed up, you know? And then he's like, I've got to deal with this. He's gone. He'll be back, right? And there's another hint in here. The scripture comes out and names Michael. Specifically, it comes out and says his name. Michael the archangel. Well, in previous chapters, in previous visions, or versions of this vision, Gabriel's named. Whenever the angel is named and known, it's put out there. But in this one, no name is rendered. So I think we're dealing with another angelic being who we don't know the name of yet. Maybe we may never know the name of. I don't know. But I don't think it's Gabriel, and I don't think, well, we know where Michael's at. He got left holding the dike wide, you know. But I don't believe it to be the pre-incarnate Jesus, as some people tend to think. So, here we go. So, Daniel is speechless after this, right? He's speechless. He's not passed out anymore. I mean, he's revived when the guy spoke to him and touched him. But he is speechless. He can't even talk, right? So he's kind of like a stroke victim. He's just sitting there and he can't even talk. He's just looking at him. I don't mean that harm. I mean, I'm just characterizing it. And then the guy touches him and all of a sudden he can speak, right? And then the guy touches him again and his strength is coming back. It strengthens him. And then guess what the being says again? Says it again. You need to read this. He says it again. He says, Daniel, you are precious to God. Man, I heard it once and I was good. Twice in one day? Right? That's awesome. Do we not need to hear that we are precious to God? Man, do you ever think that? I really wonder, if we were to get honest with ourselves, how many of us have ever truly said, man, I'm precious to God. That's how God feels about me. That's hard for us because we're not even sure that anybody else views us. I'm not sure that I'm precious to anybody, right? I'm talking about you, not me. Right? Let alone I'm precious to God, but we need to be reminded of that. He says it twice. Very important. Back to the text in verse 20. He replied, this guy's the being speaking to Daniel again. He says, do you know why I've come? Which I found funny because he'd already told him why he came. But, I mean, he knows Daniel's not, I guess, you know. I mean, he's the man of God, but he's probably not that bright if he needs to be reminded. Right? I mean, we don't need to be reminded, do we? Right? Do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, because that's where you left Michael. And after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. See, this is connecting with all of these previous visions. They're laying out these kingdoms, these empires that are going to rise and the order in which they're going to rise. And it seems that there are spiritual beings that are behind the empowerment of these kingdoms. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. Some of you, that this might be the second book that you've ever heard about in Scripture. I'm not talking about the books of the Bible, but books that the Bible refers to. What's the other book you've heard of? Book of Life, the one you kind of want to make sure your name's in, right? And then there's this book of truth. Seems to be different from the book of life. The book of truth kind of has all of history already in it. What is going to happen? Truth. Got the upper story, lower story. I've mentioned that before. How you and I, we live, we've talked about this. Our small group's gone through a small group study called The Story. I know some other groups have. You know, and there's the lower story in which you and I live and walk in, right? And then there's the upper story. It's kind of like that cosmic battle is going on up here and our earthly conflict is down here. And yet somehow, they're connected. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael. And he goes back to Michael, and then he says to Daniel, your spirit prince. Now, before you get all excited and think that, you know, Daniel has a guardian angel named Michael, that's stupid. That's not what this is about. That's not what it says, and that's a really good idea, and it's fun to put on your pillows and prints. But I don't find it biblical. But I will say this. There is an archangel, who is the spirit prince over Israel. And that is Michael. Okay? I have been standing beside Michael to support and strengthen him since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. So there are spiritual beings that are representing or warring on behalf of kingdoms or nations. Michael is the spirit prince of Israel. There's the book of life. There's the book of truth. So I want to kind of sum up, because there's a lot. Again, this is just an introduction. This isn't even the vision. We didn't get to the chapter 11 is a vision. This is just the occasion when he received the vision. But there's a whole lot of stuff that's just like been thrown at us, right? So here's what I want you to understand. God is sovereign, right? Meaning that everything that happens is either A, decreed by God, or B, allowed by God. Right? Decreed by God or allowed by God. Right? Because sometimes God is the actual causation of, and sometimes us just being idiots is the causation of. And he goes, all right, find out for yourself. A cosmic battle is waging simultaneously as our earthly conflicts, and yet somehow, don't miss this, somehow our prayers are heard in heaven. Our prayers, in response to our prayers, commands are being given. And in response to our prayers, our prayers are affecting outcomes. Did you get that? From the very first day, Daniel, that you began to pray, it was heard in heaven, a command was given, I was dispatched and I was on your way. But I got held up in a spiritual battle with another being. But then I was sent help, and I'm now here in answer to your prayer. There's a whole lot more going on than we realize when we're serious about prayer. Now, before we get lost in all this stuff, right, identity stuff and spiritual beings and who's the spirit prince. And, oh, man, Pastor Frank just said I don't have a guardian angel. Now I'm mad. I didn't say that. I should have said it, but I didn't say it. Right? We do a lot of crazy things. But I want to get, I want to use the words of a deep theologian as we wrap up. So I'm reminded of a conversation near the end of the movie between Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin. There's a lot of things you can learn, and you just don't ever know what the source is going to be for you to learn. Right? You can learn from everybody. There's not a single person in here. I know that's shocking. You're thinking, yeah, but what about? No, there's not a single person in here you can't learn from. Right? And Pooh says to Christopher Robin at the end of the movie, what day is it? And Christopher Robin says, well, it's today. And Pooh goes, man. Well, he didn't say man, that's me. He said, today is my favorite. Do we spend more time grieving over yesterday, anxious about tomorrow, or at peace with today? Let's pray.